It's time for Buff Talk here on 99.9 The Rock. A chance to hear from the coaches and athletes from Garden City High School. Let's go live to Old Chicago in Garden City and join the voice of the Buffaloes, Cal Friedman.
Welcome back to Old Chicago here on October the 9th. Welcome in Buff Talk here, second show of October. And as we mentioned last week, fall sports are winding down. It's a big week here for Garden City High School. It is Hatchet Week. We will hear from 14th year head coach Brian Hill at a Garden City and Don City ahead of Friday's game. We'll also have two Buffaloes football players on, Ethan Allen and Sebastian Lopez, on later in the show. But before we get into this first interview, Old Chicago reminds you to drink pink this month. There are $1 featured items this month, so be sure to come down to Old Chicago. Plenty of exciting sports going on tonight. Packers and Raiders and Monday Night Football, and a couple of playoff baseball games going on. But I want to start today with soccer, and I wanted to bring on head coach Jose Vital in his fourth season. Coach, how are you doing tonight? Thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Really good season for your team so far. 9-2-2 on the year. What have been some of your overall takeaways from how your team's done so far?
Oh, it's been a wonderful season. I got to say, I mean, just year after year, the athletes that just working with them. This is my fifth year coaching here at Garden City High School, and progressively, they've just gotten better and better. We've gotten better as a team. The progress has been showing, thank God. Right now, we're 9-2-2, and hopefully we can just keep on improving. We got 3 games left in the season before we kick off our postseason, and we'll see how we do. We got Hayes this Thursday.
You've done a really good job to build off of last season. You were 11-7 last year. As you mentioned, you're 9-2-2. How did you want this team to take last year's lessons and sort of improve throughout the offseason?
One of the things that we took a whole lot more serious is, you know, discipline on and off the field. You know, holding boys back from playing games because of their grades or because of attendance is something that we take to heart. You can't have, you know, a team that listens and functions to what the organization's morals of if you don't have boys that are disciplined. So that's one of the big things that we are really just pushing down their throats with the strong respect. Obviously, they're athletes first. And, you know, just today, you know, we had an F list and we had them on the line, and we were reminding them the do's and the do nots. But above that, you know, the discipline to follow, you know, the playing style that we asked them to play. You know, we play a 4-5-1. You know, with two center defensive mids, and there's some transitions that happen on that formation where, you know, our middle triangle has to do a lot of movement. We ask our left backs and right backs to do a lot of overlapping, so a lot of attacking, and so they have to be careful on the counterattacks. So discipline on and off the field is really what we're pushing down for these kids.
Let me ask that, with you talking about wanting to make sure the classroom comes first, has that been an issue with this program in the past couple of years when you took over?
I think at first it was, I kind of felt like I was Coach Carter. I was reminiscing the movie. you know, obviously I can't lock up the gym for these boys, but one thing I can do is keep them from playing if, you know, they're not doing as was what is asked. In the past, there was a lot of things that, you know, we would wait until they would have 2 Fs. And it would just lead us to, you know, putting us in a trench, putting us in a hole where, you know, we were down some of our best players and we were, you know, left with some of our JV kids, you know, putting themselves on the line for these kids. And, you know, we need to establish that from the beginning. You know, I'm 28 years old. I'm about to be 29 years old. When I started, I was the youngest head coach at Garden City High School. So, you know, I've learned a lot. Humbly, I say that. And I definitely can tell you that you get results if you really push these boys and you're serious with them. And they know that it's all about business. And, you know, you're there not to mess around. You're there to get results. And as soon as they understand that and you push it every single day, you'll start to get those results. And thankfully, I can say that we have been getting those results.
Is there somewhere where you learned that, just to kind of make business first?
Yes, sir. I would say it was even a learning curve for me as a coach. And like I tell you, you know, I'm a young coach. So there were some learning patterns to that. I have a wonderful coaching staff, all of which are actually older than me. And even them, you know, they've learned a lot along the way with me. And it's never easy because, you know, year after year, sometimes we get new coaches. There's only 3 of us who've been around with the boys for, I think it's 3 years now. So even in that aspect, it gets a little frustrating and hard. But thankfully, we have been seeing results year after year. And we're having a good run. I'm actually very satisfied and pleased with this team and organization.
When do you turn 29, by the way?
October 19th is my birthday.
Okay, all right, 10 days. So happy early birthday, Coach.
Thank you.
Let me ask that. So fifth year of coaching, you said you were 24
when
you were hired.
Yeah.
What made Garden City want to come after you? What was the interviews like?
You know, it was a little shocking, but you know, that's the whole reason why I came into the education system, is to also go into coaching and make a difference in, you know, young boys and girls' lives. Similar to like how Coach Padilla did with me, Coach Otsema, who I give him a great shout out. They were my coaches growing up. And I think I just wanted to keep doing what they were doing and, you know, even make it better, make the system and organization better. You know, make these boys understand that, you know, grades and everything is, you know, we're watching you guys. You're on our radar and we care about you guys. And I tell these kids every day, and I quote myself, you know, I'm going to dad you guys. I'm going to dad you guys every day, you know, with respect to your parents. I'm sure your parents would want me to treat you as if you were my own child. And that's one thing that I try to remind myself every day. I just became a father about a year ago. My daughter's birthday is this Friday.
Aw, congratulations.
Yeah. So, you know, ever since I became a father, I think there was like a big switch in me also as well. So just a lot. It's a lot, man, but I love this job.
No,
I love being here. So whenever I got interviewed, just going back to that question, sorry, I got a little sidetracked.
No, all good. Please do.
I remember mentioning that, you know, I'm here for the long run. You know, I'm here for the long run. I want to see Garden City win something. I truly believe, I firmly believe, and I still stick to it, that Garden City has, you know, the team, the people, the community to win something, a state championship, you know, dare I say it. Yes, a state championship. You know, our girls, they've won regionals back to back. And they're just knocking on the door to go into a state, you know, top four. The boys were able to get to a regional championship. Things didn't go how they wanted them to go. This year, that's the thing we keep bringing up. Regional, we're going to win a regional championship. We're going to win a regional championship, or we're going to push to be those top four. You know, it's one day at a time. So, and that's, I stick to that with the boys. And I remember being interviewed by a few of my colleagues. And that's what I told him. You know, I want to see Garden City improve on, you know, in the classroom, outside of the classroom. We can win something if you hire me. You know, I will die trying.
So let me ask that. So you obviously played here.
Yes.
Back here as a coach.
Yes.
Talking about how, you know, you really feel like Garden City is special. Where does that soccer culture come from here?
Like growing up here, man, I'm a street man, man. I played on the streets here, you know, to all the kids who play out there at Garcia, you know, Charles O. Stones. Who the kids who go out there and play at the zoo courts. You know, big shout out to all you guys. Keep grinding, keep playing. That's what it takes to have a good team. It's not just the 3 months that we coaches have you. It's the whole year round. You know, you look at other communities that win state championships. That's what it takes. It takes, you know, a group of boys and girls that come together and play not just 3 months out of the whole year, but, you know, 12 months out of 12 months.
Sorry about that. You were talking about, you know, the formation you guys play in, you use the two holding midfielders, you have a lot of fullbacks that overlap. Where did you get those strategies? Where did you get those tactics from?
I'm a big Premier League fan.
Oh, yeah?
I'm a big Premier League fan. It's a risky formation that we play. Obviously, we feel like we have the guys to play it. We have guys that are fast on the outside backs, and we have strong holding center defensive mids. But, yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of soccer. I like to watch Premier League, La Liga, you know, MLS, Mexican League, and so, you know, me and my assistant, we talk a lot about formations that would work, that wouldn't work, formations that would get us more goals, put us on top of the score sheet first versus, you know, fighting to get back up there. And we felt like this is something that we could adopt. I rather would not speak about who we got it from. But, you know, you could say we study a lot of soccer. You know, we watch film at least once a week with our team. On the weekend, I'm watching soccer. You know, that's what I love doing. But It's a formation that allows us to attack and also drop as a team. So it's a lot of shifting with our 3-5-1.
Let me ask this, because I'm a big Premier League fan. I love watching it week in, week out. Who are some of your favorite players to watch, either from the past or now?
I mean, Erling Haaland's a huge player right now to watch.
Oh, God, yeah.
The guy's a monster. But, I mean, another player that I really adore is Kevin De Bruyne. He's really good. Those City players are just, they're really good. But over here in La Liga, I mean, there's players that I really love watching. Pedri, Barcelona, even Jude Bellingham Real Madrid's newest player. He's pretty interesting to watch over the weekend. It was pretty interesting to see what he did.
Yeah.
And I'm a Barcelona fan, you know, but you gotta respect greatness when you see it.
He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
He has like 10 goals in 10 games, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, those are, I was just hearing the commentary the other day, those are Ronaldo and Messi numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the rate that he's scoring those goals. So it's pretty amazing to watch. If you don't watch soccer, you better start watching it.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty amazing. Erling Haaland, what Mbappe is doing, Kylian Mbappe, Jude Bellingham. Just some amazing players, man. And obviously, we can't forget about, you know, Messi and Ronaldo, mm-hmm. obviously.
And then the World Cup's coming here in a couple of years.
Oh, yeah. You better get your tickets.
Oh, my God. No. Like, that is a dream for me. But at the same time, like, I know that's $500 a pop.
Oh, know? Yeah. Yeah. You got to pre-register and everything.
Yeah. But, like, that's a dream for me.
Oh, yeah.
Any game. Like, obviously, to see the United States play. But any team, I would see.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, just kudos to the United States. I mean, the team that they've had. I mean, you want to talk about CONCACAF? I mean, the USA is—they're looking really sharp.
Yeah,
my respect.
I really thought they're building pretty well. I saw in one of the recaps that you put out the other week that you gave Gilberto Castro, if I said that right, team MVP against Heights. He made his varsity debut in that game.
That's correct.
And he gave him team MVP. How was he able to impress?
You know, this kid really came out as a shocker to all of us coaches. Obviously, we spotted him on JV. Kid was just phenomenal, getting goals, doing it. I mean, shutting out everyone on his side. So we needed someone, a speedster, left back, right back. And so we called him up. We called him up. Our guy got injured. We called him up, and he adapted just fine. I mean, on his debut, he got a goal. Following game, he got assists. I mean, everything when it comes to us defending, he is able to clear everything. The kid can play. He has that chemistry. I'm who am I to take anything away from a freshman who can play? And it's just phenomenal that we get to have him for 4 more years. I mean, talk about nurturing one of our players here at Garden City. So, yeah, good for him.
Can it be difficult to move up from JV to varsity at first?
I think it is. I mean, especially being a freshman, it's a little difficult. Obviously, you know, you're at the short end of the stick. You know, we've got seniors who've been trying to make varsity, you know, 3 years straight, and it finally happens for their senior year. So there's a lot. It's a lot in high school coaching, especially in soccer, when you only have, you know, a roster of 22 and only 11 really start and only 11 really play. So, you know, there's a lot of big decision making. But at the end of the day, we have three freshmen on our varsity roster, and no regrets with that. I mean, they've been holding up their weight.
What are some of the big differences between JV and varsity play at this level?
Some of the bigger differences from JV and varsity, I mean, that's kind of a hard question to answer. I'm really going to tell you that because, you know, we kind of uphold these boys to the same standard. You know, we don't care if you're varsity or JV. You know, there's no special backdoor for varsity players. They're all held to the same standard. I would say the biggest thing is, you know, being a varsity player, you know, if getting anything that's a school offense, like a referral, an FYI, or even F, you know, you're held to a stronger standard. You know, I could expect it from a JV kid, a C team, because we have a C team. But from our varsity kids, you know, they're really held to a tougher standard. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'll tell them that, you know, like, guys, you're varsity players, you know. None of that horseplay. I mean, plain and simple.
Tell me about some of your biggest standouts from the season, because you guys have scored goals for fun. You scored 10 in a game against El Dorado. You had 7 last week against Great Bend. Who are some of those guys that have, you know, kickstarted the way that you guys are able to finish goals?
Ah, man, I can't even begin to tell you. We have lots of goal scorers, thank God. I think our top goal scorers right now are Victor Adame and Eli Areola. I think they're kind of fighting for that first place position. I think Victor sitting like at 16 and Eli sitting like at 17. But even like our defenders, Zayn Deathrich has been getting, he almost got a hat trick against on a senior night, not senior night, excuse me, on senior night. Josh Negron has a shot to him. He's one of our strongest assisters. He doesn't always get goals, but I mean, this kid is just delivering. He's just delivering presents for his teammates, just giving goals left and right. But those are probably our top goal scorers, Victor and Eli. Those boys are good at getting in back of the net. Victor has a shot on him. He has a heck of a right foot. Just the other day, he scored a goal from 30 yards out.
Wow.
Yeah, so the kid, I mean, and he does that game in, game out. It's probably his fourth goal that he scored like that this season. So it just comes naturally to him. Eli's a runner. He sprints. He's got some feet. He's our main striker. He's our starting striker right now. And it's just a matter of delivering balls in the air or through balls, and you know, he'll beat him on the speed. And he likes to dance. He likes to get the ball and juke them around. So it's entertaining to watch him.
So you do have a little bit of a KDB and Erling Haaland connection in this team. Yeah. You've got somebody who can shoot from 30 yards out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We got some kids who are – they have talent, man. They each have their traits. I mean, Diego Padilla, I forgot to mention him. Diego Padilla, quiet kid. But, man, this kid scores all the time. He has a heck of a left foot. And, yeah, man, these kids deserve the bragging rights that we give them.
Tell me a little bit about the team in practices, when you're watching film. Is it a serious team? Do they have a sense of humor to them? Well, how would you describe the attitude of this group?
I think they're a serious team, for sure. I mean, it took a little bit of work to get them there at the level that they're at now. But they also have a sense of humor. This is a team that when we come home, you know, they are singing together. They are singing. They have music playing. And I have no problem with that. As long as they're not doing anything wrong, they're not hurting anyone or being mean to each other, they can sing as loud as they want. So just to tell you a little bit about them, you know, they're goofy kids. We used to have 5 a.m. practices towards the beginning of the season. And it was kind of funny seeing them get up early and, you know, seeing a different side of them, because some of them are not morning people. Some of them are not morning folks. I had a kid who swears he did not go to sleep because he was afraid he would not wake up for his alarm.
Oh.
Yeah, and he still sticks to his story today. Alfonso de la Rosa, whatever. He's our varsity goalkeeper. He's a great kid.
Okay. But
he's like, coach, you know, I would never sleep because I was so afraid of mispractice.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider myself a morning person, but I don't know if I'd be able to get up at 5 a.m. for him every day.
Yeah. A lot of discipline. Like I said in the beginning, you know, that was one of the main things we enforced. And we told him every day, guys, get used to this. This is a system. And we would still have afternoon practice. It was, you know, to respect our football team, we would try to have turf time in the morning. Football has turf in the afternoon. That way, in the afternoon, when we had our practice, we would just do conditioning, 30 minutes, and we're out of there. So morning, we would get there with the purpose of getting some turf time, you know, getting established how we're, you know, how it's going to feel for our game. And in the afternoon, we would hit some conditioning, and it'd be great. I mean, it was tough on these kids. There was a lot of absences. But every day, you know, we'd remind them, hey, where were you this morning? You know, we didn't see you this morning. You know, it's going to be X amount of laps tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
Is it tougher for them to play on turf rather than playing on natural grass?
It's actually tougher for them to play on grass, considering that most schools do play on turf. Excuse me. Most schools play on turf. So there are some schools who still play on grass, such as like Great Bend and, you know, Hayes TMP and other schools in the area. But most of the schools will play on turf. So we try to make a very complex schedule where we schedule around, you know, so we can get plenty of turf time, whether we're practicing at 5 a.m. or Wednesday afternoons, or, you know, 5 p.m., 5:30 after football practice is over. We really try to get these kids in so they have, you know, the resources for no excuses, you know. You know, well, we didn't have turf time, coach. We didn't do this. We didn't do that. We try. That's our job as coaches, to set them up with everything, that the resources that we have as a district.
So you close up your season. You got 3 more games left in this regular season. They're all on the road. You've got Hayes this Thursday at 7 o'clock. You travel to Dodge City, which we were talking about a little before we started this. They've been unbelievable so far this season. You close the year with Wichita North. What are some of the things you're looking for the team to finish up play before you go into regional play?
I think the biggest thing is getting the team finalized that we're going to use for that postseason. Regionals is something that we see is very sacred to us. We want to do good. We hope to do good. And we're, as coaches, we're really pushing that in the mindset of our student athletes. Guys, you know, this is the system that we run. Let's try to master it. Let's try to master it, you know. And it's not just one system, you know. Sometimes we switch up the formation, and the boys understand that, you know. Sometimes we got to switch things up due to, you know, either the wind or the team having, you know, a very fast player or a very strong, you know, a strong formation in different aspects. So sometimes you got to switch things around. But for the most part, being able to adapt, for the most part, yeah.
Well, regarding City Buffalo's 9-2-2 on the pitch this season, they've got a whack game this week. They travel to Hayes on Thursday. That action starts at 7 o'clock. But his fourth-year head coach, Jose Vital. Coach, thank you so much for coming on. I know you mentioned it was your first time, but you handled that absolutely awesome. And I want to have you on again later on down the season, especially once regional play starts up. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate being here. I mean, very exciting. I would hear your voice a lot. I was, like I told you earlier, I would hear your voice on. I tune in to watch Coach Hill's football games. I love supporting all the RR athletes at GCHS. And hearing your voice, I'm like, man, I wonder who this guy is. I want to meet him someday. So it was really exciting for me to come out here and just want to give a big shout out to our athletes, to all our staff at GCHS, to my wife and daughter who are at home, and just for you for inviting me out here. I'm really appreciative of that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have Coach Hill on in a moment as we drive into Hatchet Week, Garden City taking on Dodson. We'll be right back here live from Old Chicago. It's Buff Talk.